Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With Masterclass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With Masterclass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch Masterclass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from Masterclass to their lives. Masterclass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. masterclass.com/audio.
Welcome to another round of the Best of SDHAM from the Soccer Down Here Network. John Nelson here with you. Thanks for accessing us however you are doing so. Large device or small, 929thegame.com, the Off the Woodwork podcast section, or on the Odyssey app. For those that are not familiar, SDHAM is the morning show attached to the Soccer Down Here Network, the SDH Network, based here in Atlanta, Georgia. And what we do at the SDH Network, we bring you coverage of the sport, regardless of level, could be high school, could be college, could be pro, could be second, third division, what have you. We do that all in one place with all of the variety of programming we have. It's either live events or it's morning show content or it's stuff before the morning show. We usually start our day with Jason Longshore and the Morning Espresso, where he kind of gives you the tour of everything going on in and around the planet, what you might have missed. We follow that up at 9.05 a.m. Eastern time with SDHAM. The morning show goes for about 2 hours. Traditionally, it's longer than 2 hours on all of the soccer down here, the SDH Network platforms. It's on our YouTube channel, on X, and it is on Twitch as well. And so you can catch us live any one of those different ways. And the audio itself is preserved and is released later on in the morning. So if you miss a show, you can always catch the rebroadcast in video form, say on our YouTube channel, or on audio versions. What you can do there is you can go to your favorite podcatcher or go to Spreaker. That's a speaker with an R in the middle, and that's our main head end when it comes to our releases and all that. And so you can catch us live, you can catch us on tape, and we get you started in your morning, also going a little deeper into the topics of the day, things you might have missed or things coming up to keep an eye on any given day. This week, we go to a bunch of different places, and we cover a lot of different stories. We go into Sporting Jacks and catch up with their new head coach as they get ready for their first season in the USL Championship. It's a conversation we have with Liam Fox about the why, the challenges, and what he's looking forward to as the 2026 USL Championship season is coming up just around the corner. Also on the board, it is after Liam Fox, it's a conversation that we had with the new chairman of the NPSL. Stephen Wagner, it was named chairman, elected chairman earlier this week, and so we got the opportunity to catch up with him as he was bouncing between all of his important businesses that he is keeping an eye on going forward on a daily basis. And so earlier this week, he was named as the newly elected chairman of the NPSL. So we catch up with him and find out what his challenges are, what he's looking forward to the most, why this particular moment in time, advice that he needs, where does he go, all those kinds of things with him as he is now the man in charge in the NPSL. So it's great to have that kind of a conversation where you get to find out what's going on with someone new at their gig. And so when you have those kinds of opportunities, you can't miss those. You can't miss those. And so thanks to Gary Moody and everyone at the NPSL for letting us catch up with the man who is now in charge, Stephen Wagner, the new chairman of the NPSL. And then we follow that up with a very, very busy week in Major League Soccer because of the draft, because of reentry, because of waivers, and trying to orchestrate early gathering of rosters for the 2026 season. So we catch up with our friend Nico Moreno from Pulso Sports and Sounder at Heart in Seattle. He comes on every Thursday morning at 10:30 Eastern time, unless there's a holiday attached. But every Thursday morning, 10:30 Eastern time, Nico joins us from the Pacific time zone, and we go through everything in Major League Soccer that comes across his bow on a daily basis. So it's another packed show for the Best of SDHAM, and without further ado, we're going to go and find out what it's like for a first-time head coach in USL Championship for a first-year team starting in USL Championship in 2026. It's our conversation with Liam Fox, finding out about the why now, and what he's looking forward to in Jacksonville in 2026. But first, batting leadoff, wasting no time. Of course, for him, it's lunchtime, so it's pretty easy for him. Liam Fox, the new man in charge with what is going on in Jacksonville at USL in the USL Championship, Sporting Jack. See, Liam, I even have the proof right here. It's like new head coach at Sporting Jacks. First and foremost, congratulations on the new gig. I got to ask all the important questions here. So my first question for you is, what attracted you to this gig in the first place? Why come over from where you're sitting right now, hop on a plane, pack up everything, come onto this side of the Atlantic? Why? What was your why for this move?
I think it was quite simple for me, John. It was just the unique opportunity of building a club from the ground up, from almost ground zero day one. And it just captured me straight away. And there's also some really good people there. Lovely part of the world. New experience for me, new culture, new football. So probably taking myself out of a kind of comfort zone in the UK here. So that was a couple of the main reasons for taking up this opportunity. Incredibly delighted that I was selected to do it. Hugely privileged. But a lot of work to do, but super, super excited for what's coming.
How much scouting, advanced scouting, how far back into the Wayback Machine did you go to do research on USL Championship to understand where the league is, where it's going, where it's coming from, what their plans are? How was your book about that thick when it came to all your intel and USL Championship in general going into these conversations?
Yeah, listen, whenever you come into a new job, there's a lot of work to get done. There's a lot of homework to get done. You do your research. I was obviously hugely aware of the USL before. I've had a number of friends that have worked in the USL. I believe it or not, I actually came to a few USL games last year. I was out visiting one of my friends in Boston, Mark Spalding, and he'd previously worked with Memphis in the USL. So I came out, watched a couple of games. You can see how quickly and how much the league is developing year on year, month on month. And I've watched a lot. I've went and watched all the teams, all different different styles, different coaching techniques, the amount of players, the different types of environments that you're going to be playing in. So listen, I'm I'm well versed. I'm well schooled up. But really looking forward to hitting the ground running. We report back on around about the 20th of January, so we've got work to do before then. But again, just brilliant opportunity for me. Really excited.
For those that may not know philosophically how you are, but I mean, they may have done research and looking at you with your time at Hearts and the other places that you've set up your shingle. How would you break down what folks are going to anticipate when it comes to the on-the-field product there in Jacksonville? Because, I mean, this is year one of something. This is coming out of the blocks with something. You've got to kind of hit the ground running. You're in player assembly right now. There are a couple of signings that have already been made. For those that may not know your CV, how would you break down what you like to have happen on the pitch and have it translate into wins and successes?
Yeah, I think it's really difficult to give you in one sentence, but I'll do my very, very best. But
well,
I think
we got time, Liam. We got nothing but time. You can break it all down, brother.
I think when you look at anybody's career, there will be high points and low points through your career, and these experiences shape you. I think probably one of the most important things for me is that I like my teams to be exciting. I like them to be attacking. I like them to play with speed. I like them to play on the front foot. So we've got to go and recruit people that fit these profiles, and ultimately, we're a brand new start. We've got a lot of obstacles in our way. We want to hit the ground running. We want to be the best version of ourselves that we can. But we understand there's going to be challenges in that. There will be challenges, but sort of like old school values with sort of modern techniques. That's how I like to try and frame it. But ultimately, I want it to be exciting, and I want people to come and enjoy and look forward to coming to watching the team play. And if we do that, and we perform and we pick up results, then I think hopefully the community can get behind us. So, yeah, and one sort of strap phase, old school values with new school techniques.
Nothing wrong with that. When you go through your career, I mean, this is part of ground up. This is like, ringing up Steve and Mark Warburton, and it's like, this is like ground up building a home and a subdivision and whatever. I mean, have you always thought of yourself as a builder, or is this something out of your own comfort zone where, hey, yeah, I get to build something?
Yeah, I don't think you can ever see yourself as a builder. I like to think that I'm a developer of talent, developer of teams, developer of individuals. But again, part of the uniqueness of this opportunity was back here in the UK. Like, I've just left Hearts, and Hearts have got 150 years worth of history. So this is totally, totally new, totally unique. Listen, I'm learning as I'm going as well. I'm not going to sit here and say to you, we've got this lockdown. That's not how it's going to be. But I think you have to come in with an open mind, with open eyes, and be comfy being uncomfy and being adaptable. So I think these are traits that I'd like to think that I have, so which will help us. But again, it's back to that uniqueness of the opportunity.
So when you are coming into something like this with the USL Championship and Sporting Jacks, I mean, how do you keep the pressure of expectations off to the side, knowing that you want to succeed over time? And I know that everybody kind of is wrapped up in instant expectations and things like that from a fan perspective, but how do you balance the idea of the instant expectation, both internal and external, with the idea of trying to be patient with a build? Does that make any sense?
Yeah. No, it makes total sense. I think first and foremost, nobody's going to put more expectation on themselves than me, because when I do something, I want to do it properly and I want to do it right. And ultimately, you want to be successful at it. And that probably involves winning a lot of games. Now, in any given sport, but especially soccer, you're playing against other teams who want to win. You're playing against some very good players, some very, very good coaches. So it's never just quite as simple as we're going to turn up and we're going to win. So there's a lot of things that need to come into that, the recruitment of players, the environment that we create. So these are all challenges, again, all different various challenges that any manager we'll have to come up and come up against. But you've got to believe in what you do. I believe in the work that I've done previously to this point to get me this opportunity. I'm really, really clear on how I see the team functioning, which helps. So some people get a bit stressed about recruiting players and going from having absolutely no players to probably around about 23, 24, 25. People see that as a real challenge, and it is a challenge, but it's something that you, because I'm clear in how I see the team functioning, it's actually become cleaner and clearer for me because I know exactly how I want the team to be. So I've got the end goal in my head. I've got the process to get it there, and it's just making sure we get the right people in the right areas. We make sure the training environment's really, really important to me. I'm a big believer in you don't rise to the occasion, you descend to the level that you train at. Very famous quote from the Navy SEAL. So that's something that is always in my thinking about making sure that we maximise every day that we've got on the training pitch. And if we do that and we create the right environment with the right people, hopefully, with a wee bit of luck, because you always need a bit of luck. Mm-hmm. We can't forget that. But again, managing expectations. So I repeat, nobody's going to put more pressure on themselves than me to be successful.
Liam Fox, the new man in charge at Sporting Jacks, hanging out with us, batting leadoff here on Thursday Thoughts on the SDH Network and SDH AM. How big is your database when it comes to players that you sit there and it's like, ooh, I like that guy? It literally, your nose is pressed up against the shop window and like at Harrods, man. You're just kind of like this and looking at what it looks. How big is your database? Are we talking like 3 inches of a ring binder here?
Double that. So there's a lot of players. And also, I think with the USL, with being in Jacksonville, with being in Florida, again, I repeat, a lovely part of the world, that spikes people's interest as well. But you need to make sure that they're coming for the right reasons, and they want to come for the right reasons, that they want to improve, they want to be part of a hungry culture that wants to, and ultimately wants to win. So, you can imagine my phone has blown up over the last 4 or 5 weeks with people interested in, and ultimately, everybody's got budgets, and I'd love to be able to go and sign X, Y, and Z, but we've got to live within our means, and we've got to make sure that we manage that properly. But ultimately, it's about getting good people first and foremost. I've spoken to a lot of players over the last 4, 5, 6 weeks, and I don't mind sharing that there's been one or two that I've just said, no, you're not for me because of the way you are. That good people. Yeah, it's really important that good people, and then whenever they get to this stage, they all have attributes, and it's about picking the right attributes to get the right blend for the environment and the culture, because that's really, really important to me.
So when you have questions, I mean, obviously your phone's been blowing up, and I imagine it's been blowing up from here to Saturday and back, getting, you know, messages and WhatsApp and everything. A, congratulating you on the gig. B, wondering how they can help. C, yeah. I'd like to, it's like, C, how can I be a part of this? D, how can I be a player for you at Sporting Jacks? When you have a question outbound, who is on your short list when it comes to dialing folks up that you can sit there and ring that person up? You know, they're going to pick up the phone and you go, look, man, I got a question about this, this, or this. And you know that they can help you through it. Who are your bartenders in this situation?
I'm quite fortunate. There's quite a lot of people that I can pick up the phone to, and I can ask different questions to different people. But I think ultimately, when you get to this point, it's really, really important that you're confident enough in yourself to be able to pick up the phone and say, somebody, listen, I've got this situation. What do you think? What would you do? What would your experience be? But ultimately, it's got to be me that makes the final call on it. So Mark Warburton's a fantastic, first of all, fantastic human being, but also the level and the experience that he's got in the game. To have him on my speed dial just to say, Mark, listen, I'm thinking about this. What do you think? And Mark can sometimes throw me something left field. He can, no, that's okay. But ultimately, it comes back to me having the confidence and the belief to make the decision. But again, really fortunate with the people that I've got, both here and in the States. And sometimes it's important not just to go to football people. Sometimes it's important to go to people in other walks of life who, do you know what I mean?
Oh, absolutely.
It can't always just be, I've got in a situation on this, let's go to a football guy. Because sometimes different walks of life, different career paths throw different things at you. And listen, I don't have all the answers, so I've got no problem picking up the phone to people and saying, can you give me your opinion on this? Can you give me your opinion on that?
because the real world doesn't necessarily just lock itself into athletics. I mean, you could sit there and it could be some guy that, you know, runs their own business, whatever the business is. I mean, it could be, you know, it could be one of the most successful, you know, pubs that you go to, and it, it could be like a chain of like 900 pubs or something. And, hey, how did you do this and how are you navigating? Yeah, because real world can affect what you can do in athletics just as much.
Yeah, absolutely. And take my group of school friends that I've been fortunate enough to know them now for near enough, probably 35 years. Some of them have their own businesses. So everything can be relatable. It's about people, and ultimately it's about managing people and finding the, setting the culture, setting the boundaries, setting the guidelines, pushing. And I talk quite a lot about engaging with players, challenging players, and then supporting players. These are three things that are consistent in how I will give information, we'll pass information, and we'll preview and we'll debrief. So you've got to be able to engage with them on a human level. You've got to be able to talk to them. But you've also got to be able to poke them and prod them and push them and demand from them. And ultimately, they have to know that you're there to support them in moments, and they're going to make mistakes. We're all going to make mistakes. So that becomes really important. For me, it's about managing the people. The tactical side and the periodization side, that can change. And the greatest thing about football is there's no right and there's no wrong, but you've got to find a way that, that fits for where you are at that moment in time. So being flexible and adaptable off the back of, contradicting myself here, but I'm really clear on how I see the team functioning. But how you get that to the end point, you're going to have to be able to adapt with different personalities, different cultures, different beliefs. So yeah, that's the challenge, but it comes down to managing people.
How long did it take you to become comfortable in your own skin as both a coach and as a navigator of people?
A bit of time. I'd love to sit here and say to you that it happened overnight. It definitely didn't. I've probably been coaching now near 11 and a bit years. Finished my playing career early due to a bad hip injury. And then when you finish playing, when you're an experienced professional, you think you know the game, you think you have the answer for everything, you think that, oh, I should have done this, we should have done that. But it's not till you come over to the other side that you don't really know the game. And it's taken me this long period of time to get to the point where you've got to be comfy in yourself. You've got to accept that you're going to make mistakes. I think having some difficult experiences over the last sort of 11, 12 years is really important. And there's nothing... You're going to go through that. It's elite professional soccer. There's going to be difficult periods, but it's how you talk a lot about resilience and being able to bounce back from how are you going to react. My dad, best bit of advice I ever got, my dad used to say to me when I was younger, and I would be mumping and moaning about things, and he'd say, well, what are you going to do? You can sit here and mump and moan about it, or you can actually do something about it, and you can learn from it. And I've tried to take that with me everywhere I've gone. There's going to be mistakes, there's going to be difficult times, but what are we going to do about it? And that's a characteristic that I hope will be evident in the playing group this season.
And, I mean, I know that most of your playing career was at Livingston, but you've had a lot of your coaching time is at Hearts, and anybody that knows about Hearts history, where there were times where a lot of folks might be thinking, yeah, man, they might be on death's door as a franchise.
Absolutely.
And so you get to, you're learning from, you know, the absolute ground zero of how things can get rough. And now Hearts top of the table. Hey, see, now you're leaving Hearts in a good place, man. See that? you're leaving them in a good spot. They're top of the table and they're looking down at Celtic and Rangers this year.
Yeah, it's brilliant. I'm a Hearts fan as I grew up a Hearts fan as a kid. So for me, one of my biggest disappointments was that I got really, really close to playing, but I never played. But when the opportunity came back to go start my coaching career there, I never, ever thought that I'd get to the point that I finished the season where I was in charge of the football club. So to finish the season winning 4 games out of 4 is a huge thing for me. I've got no problem admitting that. And I think it's brilliant for Scottish football. It's not just Rangers and Celtic. There's somebody else that's upset the apple cart a wee bit, and long may it continue. And listen, if I've played a 0.1% part in that, whether I have or whether or not, that's for other people to decide. But it was a huge highlight for me, having been in charge of that football club for 2 interim spells last year, and finishing the season with 4 victories out of 4 was a big thing for me. So, yeah, they're in a good place. Long may it continue. Still wish everybody, still got a lot of friends there. But my main focus now is making sure that we hit the ground running, and we hit the ground running fast come March.
And we can't wait to have you on this side of the Atlantic to see how you get to work things off with Sporting Jacks. Do not be a stranger, Liam, under any circumstance. You now have the keys to the garage door. Look, keys are under the mat. You can know how to open the garage door. Anytime you want to come in and crash, it's like you're over here on, well, actually, tell you what, even if you're over there still and you're kind of sitting there and you're messing around, it's like, you know what, I got to get something off my chest. Then literally dial in and sit there and go, because we thrive in the chaos on the morning show. So whether you're there in a month when you're over here and building things at Sporting Jacks, you know we're going to be knocking on your door. It's great to catch up with you, my friend. Congratulations on the gig, and we'll be definitely seeing you soon. Don't be a stranger, okay?
Thanks very much for having me, and I'll speak to you all soon.
When you think about meal kit companies, what do you see? Probably long, complicated recipes and subscriptions you can't escape. But with the new Blue Apron, we're doing meal delivery differently. No subscription needed. Faster, easier meals. And the same dedication to quality we've always had. Shop 100-plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift, literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Good to catch up with Liam now that he's new on the job and find out what is going on in his mind as he's getting ready for his first season in USL Championship with Sporting Jacks at the University of North Florida. This is the Best of SDHAM. John Nelson here with you. And next up this week on the Best of SDHAM is heading to the NPSL. A lot of folks may know the NPSL as the summer league that starts in, say, May and works its way through into July and August when you're chasing after a championship. And you have teams like El Farolito that make those magical runs that you hear of in U.S. Open Cup play, but their origin story is in the NPSL. Earlier this week, Stephen Wagoner was elected chairman of the NPSL, and here's our conversation with him about the challenges, what he's looking forward to in 2026, and where his knowledge base is coming from and what he's looking for where the league needs to succeed or continue to grow. In his mind, it's our conversation from SDHAM with the new chairman of the NPSL, Stephen Wagoner. when it comes to the vetting process for new franchises, and I know that this is, I mean, one end of the U.S. to the other, and I love to see the growth of the sport. When the league is vetting those new franchises to come in, what are you looking for from an ownership group and the stability, and what's the idea about bringing new folks in under the tent, and what is that vetting process like?
Absolutely. So one of the exciting things about the NPSL is that continues to strengthen. You know, so our ownership, you know, kind of team owner profile that we're looking to identify, it continues to evolve. And so, you know, I think that some of the things that we've seen where, you know, owners are very successful, obviously, is past performance and experience, not just as a soccer operator, but as an entrepreneur. You know, I think the other items that we're looking for is, you know, hey, do you have control of venues, right? You know, do you own your own venue? Do you have a long-term ground lease? Can you monetize that, right? And the reality is that when you're able to have influence, you know, over the venue, you've got good past performance, you know, you've got a good team around you, naturally, I think good things, you know, happen in the community. So those are some of the things that give you an idea. But naturally, the owner profile continues to evolve, and we're really excited because we keep getting, you know, a lot of our interest. You know, we get a lot of interest, and we're trying to be somewhat selective on the teams that we come in, you know, to fit this profile to continue to grow with the league.
I'll ask it. How selective are you? It's almost like a game show. How selective are you in this process? The last thing that the NPSL wants, the last thing any league wants, is a one and done, because Correct. it doesn't promote the league, and it doesn't benefit the league in the overall. And what you've been able to do there at VB City is one of those examples of you build, you're in, and then you want to continue to grow and evolve. But how do you sit there and prevent those one and dones to where you're having to sit there and try and reclaim a market all over again?
Absolutely. You know, I think that's one of the challenges in any, you know, any sports team across any type of sport, right? And especially at the amateur level, right? But, you know, the way that we look at it is, you know, you've got a lot of interest where, you know, team owners come in and, you know, maybe they're not able to show, hey, a certain amount of liquid assets or a certain amount of past performance. And so what we want to try to do is encourage them and provide a platform. And you'll see the NPSL, you know, regional league platform, that'll be a great fit for some of these teams, and then evolve into the NPSL. And the reason for that, to your point, it's great to have these teams come in, you know, for the long term. I think the first year is exciting. The second year is exciting. The third year can be exciting. And what happens after years 2, 3, and 4? And that's typically where you start to see retention, where, you know, hey, if the owner's losing a lot of money, or it gets challenging or stale, like, what does that look like over the next, you know, 5 years? And so I think one of our objectives as we look at this is to build a platform, one that everybody's excited to be in, but then two is set up where, you know, obviously we recognize we can't run the teams for the teams. But at the same time, you know, those team owners look at it and say, hey, we do have a little bit of a playbook and we've got a bigger picture, because I do think everybody gets excited in year one. And then naturally, it's like, hey, how does that evolve into years, you know, 3 through 5? And that's really what we're looking at. So then that way, there's stability in the league moving forward.
Stephen Wagner, new chairman of the NPSL, dropping by and hanging out with us here on the morning show. And when it comes to the league roadmap, are there any sections of the country where you would sit there and go, okay, I'd really like for us to grow here. I'd really like for us to solidify here. I'm comfortable where we are here with saturation, because you don't also want to get oversaturated when it comes to demand, even though supply is readily available for the NPSL. I guess this is my Goldilocks question. So what's too hard? What's too soft? What's just right right now?
Absolutely. So one of the things I look at, and I think we look at it as a team, right? And we've got some great individuals between full-time staff working on it, and then obviously, you know, regional board members and, you know, guys that have had a lot of success, you know, in their markets, you know, working this. But one of the things we look at is, hey, can we get to a certain number? And that for us is 6 to 8 teams in a conference. If you have more, fantastic, but we really don't want to be less than that. So we're not looking to say, hey, we need to be the largest, you know, league in the country. At the same time, we want to make sure that we've got quality in those conferences. And a lot of these areas that I'll talk about, you know, these are just areas that, you know, I could say, hey, there's either a lot of competition in the areas, or there's just not a lot of offerings. Example, like the Northwest, that's a great example, in the Seattle Portland area. That's always a what I call an up-and-coming area, and I think can continue to evolve for soccer. You know, the Gulf Coast area, Florida, you know, those are some areas that naturally, regardless, take the NPSL out of it, you know, it's harder to, you know, have some consistency from time to time based on oversaturation of leagues and opportunities or just not a lot of opportunity. So those are some of the areas, you know, to include Texas. You know, those will be some of the areas that we look at and we say, hey, you know, are there some creative ways to look at this where it's beneficial to the teams and the communities locally, but also an opportunity for the league to you know, place a pretty strong foothold in those areas.
At the same time, I know that late in the season for the NPSL, and especially when you drift into the playoffs and go deep into the playoffs, you lose players because they got to go back to school. How much of a challenge is it to navigate, okay, well, what if we slide the schedule so we can keep our rosters? No, we've got to keep the schedule where it is because of, you know, venues and footprint and all this kind of stuff. How difficult is it to navigate rosters and keeping them stacked and knowing that you're going to have players going back to where they were before the season started, even though they created a successful environment in that particular season for the club that they were at?
Absolutely. So that's a it's kind of a two-pronged approach there. One is obviously from the league standpoint, there's only so many weeks in the season if you're just looking at the college player. I think one of the things that we need to reevaluate, and we've done over the last couple of years, and you know, we'll see this going into this next year, especially with the college landscape evolving, you know, how much are we dependent on just the college player? Can we have a combination of that? A lot of our West Coast teams, they start early, you know, February, March timeframe. And so, you know, these are things that we'll definitely reflect on. I think the other aspect of it is what can we do in our home markets for, you know, our home environments, I should say, for our existing teams, you know, to continue to encourage players to want to be there. One, if you're obviously in a playoff run, that's always exciting. But, you know, there's some other things that I look at. Hey, is it relationships with professional teams? You know, is it maybe there's, you know, different ways from a competition standpoint to play other leagues, right? You know, hey, it'd be great to see the NPSL playing some other, you know, high profile teams and other leagues at the amateur or professional level. And we can start to place those strategically. So that way, you know, it's beneficial to all the leagues, but also it encourages players to say, hey, I really want to be a part of that and I want to be around, you know? And so those are just a couple ideas that I have, and we're working on a couple things behind the scenes, and hopefully some of these can come out. But naturally, part of it is just, you know, the home environment with the team and trying to, you know, continue to create interest there.
Now that you are the grand exalted poobah in charge of the league, I know that you, and then I ask this question of owners and managers and coaches and all of this. I know that you've got a to-do list because a lot of folks will sit there and say, well, you know, hey, well, the season, 2026 season, yeah, it's a couple months away, but it's really not. And there's that sense of calendar and yeah, you look at the calendar, but no, there's still, we got to get to the calendar. We can't just sit there and go, oh, we have a schedule. Where is the to-do list for you to get ready for the season? And it might be something that's a malleable document already. Where is it? Is it in a Google Doc? Is it in? Is it on a legal pad? Is it buried underneath the sofa cushion someplace? Is it on one of those big 6-foot by 8-foot dry erase boards that I don't currently see? That's got a bunch of different colors and lines and arrows and everything. Where is this to-do list of yours to get ready for the new season of the NP? And what do you think the next thing you can cross off of that to-do list is?
Well, I'll tell you what, we got a massive war room and we're excited about it. No, I'm just kidding. We, you know, here's one of the exciting things, right? We've got a very good staff at the NPSL. I think that's one of our differentiators. And so, you know, not only are they full-time and year-round, but in addition to that, you know, we've already been planning a lot of different things for members. In the next coming months, we're going to have an all-members meeting to kind of kick off, you know, this, you know, look at it as a 120-day plan moving forward. We're also going to have our virtual owners meeting. And then, you know, naturally you'll have your logistical items, you know, hey, playoffs and schedules and all those types of things. But also I want there to be, you know, items for, you know, team owners to look forward to. And not just team owners, players, as an example. You know, hey, why come to the NPSL? Somewhat rhetorical, but why would I want to play here over the summer months, especially when, you know, the games evolve and there's so many different options, right? And so these are things that we're looking at, continuously throughout the year. You know, to answer your question directly, I'm one guy, I like to put things on paper. Hey, let's get this stuff going. Let's share it. Let's be transparent. Let's communicate. And so that's one of the things that I think will be really exciting moving forward, kind of the leadership style that I have, I think will be, as of right now, I've gotten a lot of good encouragement from team owners and, in the community. And I'm excited to work with everybody, together to make this something that everybody's excited about.
So when you have questions yourself, who's on your speed dial to sit there and bounce ideas off of? Who are your bartenders when you got a question or when you just want to sit at a table and sit there and think about things?
I tell you what, I can't give you all my secret sauce, but I've got I do have one of the benefits. I've got experience doing this in multiple industries. Take the soccer world out of it for a second, but in the IT world and the real estate world. Obviously in the sports world, we've been around for quite a while. We've got different sports programs in different states. And so one of the things that I think makes me a little bit unique is I'm able to bring a different, type of experience to the table. And I think, as far as, to answer your question as direct as possible, I've got relationships with industry leaders across different markets. And I think that's one of the things that, I can tap on a little bit from here and there. And then obviously it's a win-win, meaning they'll come to me for certain things and vice versa. But I think, that's the way, if you build a team, I've always looked at it, it's not about any one individual. If you can build a team, where everybody's excited moving forward into one direction, especially around the NPSL specifically, right? I think there's going to be a lot of good things to come. But, hopefully that's, we'll see what happens there. But hopefully some of these decisions come out and everybody's excited about them.
So, yeah, I said, all right, so if I have this individual, no, I can't tell him this guy. I can't say this guy publicly. When it comes to the upcoming season and your tenure, what are you the most excited about when it comes to the NPSL in 26? And what are you the – I'll use the word, but then I'll twist it a little bit. What are you the most concerned about? What is the biggest challenge, do you think, for you and the league going into 26?
Actually, I'll talk a little bit, from a leadership standpoint in the NPSL. I'll also make it relatable, right? Because I think, I've also been wearing the, an owner at the club for almost, 13, 14 years. I think naturally any challenge there is, how do you continue to stay competitive, right? And how do you continue to be an exciting product in the community? And I think that's relationship building. I'll give you an example, like at the team level, this past week, we've had some great meetings with, local college coaches and, regional coaches. We're doing a lot of recruiting at this point, this time of the year, right? And then naturally at the NPSL level, we're trying to put some things together. Obviously, it's logistical for the league coming forward, but also in addition, how do we put this together where, there's some other things where team owners are like, hey, like, I want to be a part of that. And I think that's what you're going to see moving forward. And then I guess locally as well, how do you engage local partners and sponsorships? I'll talk about Virginia Beach for a second. This will be public in the next week or so. We've just engaged on a, 4-year, title sponsor for our men's senior team. That's exciting. And, so they'll be their local partner. They're a very successful restaurant in the area of Norfolk. And I think that's going to be exciting, in the community. So just, if you're wearing both hats here, how do you stay relevant? How do you make it exciting? How do you have a very good product, on the field for fans, for the soccer player, and then how do we have a platform that gives people, some flexibility, but also enough structure where, hey, look, this is a professional run league. And I think that's kind of the combination that I've looked at. And I think that'll be a recipe for success.
Okay. As I sit here and look for restaurants in the Norfolk area, figure out who it is.
I'll tell you what, we'll have you in. You can come out. We'll take you out to dinner.
Hey, it's up. Look, I mean, if it's Guy Fieri Steakhouse, I'm not going to turn that down. How hard is it to, VB City's been at it for 12 years, right?
Yeah. So I would say 2013, we played 2014. Then obviously you got one COVID year. So I would, give it at least in that range, depending on how many seasons we count, just with, you have one that we didn't have, but yeah, in that range. Yep.
So first 4 years, it's semi-pro, then you join NPSL in 19, and then you're kind of on that regional national stage at that point. How difficult is it to maintain and grow in the current environment, considering what you've been able to do there at VB City? You know, obviously you don't want to stay stagnant. You want to grow and continue to evolve. How difficult is that in today's landscape to grow and evolve locally and still be safe when it comes to what you want to do with your growth curve?
Absolutely. Well, you know, how it all got started, I was I had actually bought an NPSL membership, at the time, and I'd partnered with DC United, so you might already know this, may not. So I'll give you a quick 30-second story. Mm-hmm. And so this is the way it started. I was working in partnership with DC United. Our head coach was Jaime Moreno. Mm-hmm. We had Ben Olsen involved, a lot of big names there. And, the league was looking at expansion. I said, hey, I've got relationships down in that Virginia Beach, Hampton Roads, Norfolk area. Is there a way to do something down there? This was back in 2013. And so we launched, in 2014 and kind of kicked it off, right? And so I think it really comes back to, to your point, it's all relationship-based because, people want to do business that they like to work with. That's a natural thing. Players want to play in a club that they're comfortable with and they feel like they can progress forward. So I think those are natural things that we look at. But to your point, the game's evolved, right? It's like the articles that talk about the alphabet soup of leagues, right? Like, there's a new league at the, to be fair, at the pro, at the amateur, at the youth level every other week. There's a merger, there's this, there's that. And so I think part of that's trying to stay up with the curve. I think part of that is saying, hey, like, focus on what we can control in our market. And if you do good things, naturally people are going to want to come out. And I think, I could give example after example of NPSL teams that have had success in the NPSL, and they're getting a couple thousand fans, 5,000 fans, 20,000 fans at a championship match. Like, there's so many ways to go about it. So I think it's, how do you get creative, focus on what you can control in the market, and then to try to leverage that, to make a very good fan experience.
When George Mason plays William and Mary, do you have one of those half and half t-shirts?
I guess the good news is they have similar colors. So I guess maybe the opportunity here is I just need to wear green and gold. Maybe mm-hmm. that's the way to do it. I haven't been in that situation yet. I haven't been to a game where they're both playing, but that would probably be what I do today.
No truth to the rumor that you're changing the NPSL logo colors to green and gold?
A little bit of truth there. No, just kidding. It is funny, though. I tell you what, I don't know how it all happened, but whether it was high school, college, you name it, for some reason there was always green in the colors. And so, I've somehow made that work. So in my closet, I don't have a lot of green, but I have a little bit left over from all the college stuff. So that's all good things.
If the NPSL could make a Christmas list for Santa, what would it be?
I like that. That's a tough one. Yeah, I tell you what, the thing that I cherish about the NPSL is the relationships that we have. And, I mean this honestly. I've known some great people, that we've been involved with, and I've built some great relationships across the country, with team owners. And so, I think my wish list there is more, hey, can we continue to attract more good people to the organization? And I think, naturally you can find, this is my two cents, you can find money, you can find a way to get into these certain things and that. But, when you've got something where you've got good people around and everybody's excited to work together, I think that's where you got something special. So hopefully we can get more of that coming into the new year in 2026.
And we're looking forward to hearing from you and everybody else that's attached to the new horizon here in 2026 with the NPSL. The man was elected. He's elected. He is elected now. Elected, elected, elected. He's been a member of the board of directors, regional board member, corporate treasurer. Now he's chairman of the board. Stephen Wagner, selected chairman of the league for the NPSL. Cannot thank you enough for dropping by, especially as you're trying to conquer the planet and make sure that that everything is in the order that it is supposed to be. Do not be a stranger. If under any circumstance there's any time that you want to sit there and go, yeah, yo, Nelson, I got something I got to get off my chest, you know where you can do it. Can't thank you enough as you're racing around there trying to figure out things, getting ready for the Christmas holiday in 26. Don't be a stranger, my friend. Great to have you here on the show, and we'll catch up with you soon.
Absolutely. Well, hey, thanks again for having me. I definitely enjoyed it, and I look forward to building a relationship.
Here at Blue Apron, we know exactly how hectic school nights can be. That's why we created Assemble and Bake, delicious one-pan meals that make family dinner simple. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients and put the pan in the oven to bake. Then you're free to help out with that last-minute diorama. Shop Assemble and Bake at BlueApron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit BlueApron.com/terms for more.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Two interviews down, one to go, and thanks for dropping by for the best of SDHAM. John Nelson here with you. And for those, once again, on your Thursdays, when you're kind of cruising around 10:30 Eastern time on the SDH Network, on SDHAM, and all of our social media channels, we're visited by our friend Nico Moreno, where we have Thursdays with Nico at Pulso Sports and Sounder at Heart is where he gets most of the opportunities to let you know what's going on in Major League Soccer from a Western Conference perspective. We bring him on Thursday to kind of go over the Western Conference, being based in an Eastern Conference hub, and find out what's going on in the West, find out what's going on with all the trades, find out who might be on the move, who might be coming in, find out really what's going on in the last week with a very, very busy time with a lot of transactions going on in Major League Soccer. Here's our conversation from Thursday. Nico Moreno, Pulso Sports and Sounder at Heart. All right, it is 7:37 on the West Coast, which means it's bright and before early, which means that it's also time to catch up with our friend Nico Moreno from Pulso Sports and Sounder at Heart. We bring him in. We find out what cup of coffee he's on. Oh, look at that. It's all shiny and everything going on back there. Oh, he's got the Palouse rocking. He knows what's going on. What cup of coffee are you on, sir?
Hey, what's going on, John? That's cup number two. Okay. And it's hitting just right. We're coming to you live from very rainy, stormy weather here in the PNW. Mm. But there is a ray of sunshine for the Sounders fan base that came across this week. So I'm just ready to talk Sounders, talk MLS moves, some pretty interesting ones, I would add. So I'm sure you got it all on the script there, Big John.
Yeah, here's my script, by the way. Yeah, right there. we found out that Nino bakes, and he bakes a lot of chocolate cakes and stuff, and so now we're following him on Instagram, and he's making us all hungry.
Look at that.
Nino, yeah.
I cook, I don't bake.
Nino the Baker on the Insta. And literally, it's like the first 9 entries, like 6 of them have to do with chocolate, either cake or ice cream. And I'm like, man, why you want to play that game with me? Especially this time of the day. I do want to get into a lot of stuff the MLS because this is my first day back from high school football championships, and I'm running on about 4 hours of sleep. I see things, and you're the guy that I need to ask about them. Let's start in Seattle. You mentioned that there might be a breakthrough in the negotiations involving Paul Rothrock. Give us the status report on the Sounders, ins, outs, negotiations, table seats, the whole thing.
Yeah, look, this is one that I've been chasing around all of the offseason. And I did put a lot of resources on it because I thought that it was going to be a pivotal move for the Sounders. And that is because if they were to move on from a guy like Paul Rothrock, they'd have to go replace him, and they'd have to really zero in on a winger that could provide everything that he provides. The depth in that position without him was looking a bit shaky. So I just think it's a phenomenal move, right? Paul Rothrock did it his own way. I think that he tested the market the way he wanted to test it. He talked to a lot of teams. There was a lot of interest for Paul Rothrock. I think that at the end of the day, the offer that was on the table, that number that was given by the Sounders after it was all said and done, was probably pretty fair or pretty average to what he got to see out there. And at the end of the day, this is a good situation for Paul Rothrock. This is the best situation. You have a coach that trusts you. You have a fan base that loves you. You have a system that works. And you have a team that's going to be a protagonist playing for big tournaments, big cups, right? San Jose was one of the teams that was there at the end. Most interested, advanced conversations. There seemed to be a fit to the coach, to the system as well. But does San Jose really have that sort of elite level? Not really, right? I mean, they're not playing CONCACAF Cup the way the Sounders are. As much as Bruce has done phenomenal to get that team upright and put them in the right mentality and get them close to the playoffs, they still seem to be a reach to get there next season. And because of that, I just think that Paul Rothrock assessed all of the potential offers and decided, I want to come back to Seattle. And I think it benefits both the club and the player. I think both of them are extremely excited that this is what's going to happen. So yes, this is actually finalized. This is getting pushed through. I had reported that a multi-year contract was expected to be reached. I believe that that has happened, and we should be hearing official word, if not this week, Monday. So I'm definitely excited to tell the fans that, you know, it was 95% sure yesterday. It is all the way to 100 now. So it is without a doubt a good move for the Sounders.
I know that we were looking like somewhere in the 800. I think that was the number that you and I were looking at initially. Any clue if that's the ballpark that they are in when it comes to dropping a number on Paul's contract? Any clue?
No, I believe, and that's a great question, by the way, because it is important to clarify that as far as I know, the contract is still on the Sounders' terms. That number to me, and this is a educated guess, falls around the $650,000 mark with some escalators and bonuses that would potentially compensate him beyond that. But there was no need to go and pass that limit, that line that the Sounders set from the very beginning. I've said in a couple of shows that Craig Weibel, he has his good things, he has his bad things. And one thing that he does take very seriously is being straightforward with the players. So I'm pretty sure that he said, look, this is what we can offer you. This is what it is. And go test the market, and if you can't find a better offer, the door's open. And I think that's what happened.
And there was a link to San Jose, nothing concrete there when it comes to finding a new home, but it looks like Paul Rothrock is staying. Messi and friends. Sergio Reguilón, and this is me going back into the weekend, Sergio Reguilón linked, and it looks like he's going to be added to the stacks. And then we saw that Rocco Rios Novo's loan was not, he is not coming, he was not coming back in 26. And everybody was kind of scratching their head and going, okay, that's, yeah, that was a head scratcher. And then we see the news that Dane St. Clair tells Minnesota no. And then we see 1+1=2, where Dane St. Clair ends up going to Messi and friends. And so now you have near a deal. I don't think there's anything official yet, but it looks like Dane St. Clair is going to be the new number one in Fort Lauderdale. They open the new park, so it's going to be DSC. It's going to be Ustari. They've already sent William Yarborough packing, and Rocco Rios Novo won't be back. So now we know why Rocco was out. It looks like DSC is coming in.
This was a surprise, and it feels like a power move, almost a statement move from Inter Miami. I don't want to glaze them the way, you know, certain, local media members are kind of talking about the team and what it's doing. But the move is, it's a power move. They're telling the league, look, we don't have to just go out there and get the international players. We don't have to get the big names around the world. We know what MLS has in store, and we know that every team in MLS that needed a goalkeeper and had deep enough pockets and resources within the cap structure wanted Dane St. Clair. And if we want him, we got him. And he will come even if he's taking a pay cut, because he knows what Inter Miami provides. And I think that's fair. There is obviously the Messi factor, and that's something that we cannot ignore. You wanting to play with arguably the greatest player in world history is always going to be a factor. But I do believe that there is this narrative now with Inter Miami that they have become this really big showcase across the world, right? You look at the Diego Gomez move, the Kromoski move. There's interest for a guy like Bright from international team. So when you go to Miami and you're in that stage and you have a team that now has all of this global eyes on, it's very easy for you to get noticed. So St. Clair is in every right to say, look, I'm not going to take the million that I'm being offered here in Minnesota. I want to go play with the greatest player of all time. I want to be able to be in this huge stage. I want to be with Javier Mascherano. I want to be in Miami. I want to try to get a ring. They are the champs. They have the recruiting weapons and all of the resources in the world. So I'm going to go there. And that is a power move. I do believe that is a statement from Inter Miami saying we can do it all. And that includes getting the guys that we want within the league. But it was surprising, man. You thought that St. Clair, Minnesota was always going to be a thing. And if it wasn't, I don't know. I really didn't see Inter Miami as a team that would be interested in that sort of domestic MLS player, because they've always been able to just get talent outside of MLS. But it's a phenomenal move. You get the best goalkeeper in MLS, a goalkeeper that is a winner, a goalkeeper that has the swag, the ability to just play that position differently. So it is a huge move. I do think that Inter Miami is showing the league that they can do whatever they want.
But think about it. I mean, for a second, you know, if you were Dane St. Clair and you had the choice to be in Minnesota, where literally at times it's like offensively, it's like trying to watch paint dry. And I mean, I probably am insulting painters to a certain degree by talking about what Minnesota United tries to do with Eric Ramsey. But Dane St. Clair, sometimes with him, it's a shooting gallery. And I mean, it won't be any different at the shooting gallery unless they address the issues at the back in Fort Lauderdale. But really, what would you want to do? Would you want to be a part of the system in Minnesota where you know, I think that there is a ceiling there, that there is a ceiling with Minnesota United? Or when someone knocks on your door and sits there and goes, you know, hey, do you want to? And you sit there and you point at Messi, you point at Luis Suarez, you sit there and you point at all the young talent, Allende and Silvetti and everybody there. And you go, well, here's, you sit there. Well, hey, you see this team photo and, you know, the fireworks and serpentine and everything. You got that. Or you've got, you know, quarter zip, white T-shirt and you know, I don't know, you know, maybe 1-0 and an opportunity. It's like, to me, it's an easy choice if it's presented to you, if that team sits there and it's like they have that much faith in you, in your position within the league. And I think it speaks once again to what you're talking about. Within MLS, players out there on a free, Dane St. Clair gets a seven-figure deal, according to Andy Greeter. And it's like seven-figure deal to stay in Minnesota. Dane St. Clair's like, nah, fam, I'm good. And then knock on the door, you know, Dane. And it's like, Jorge Mas. Yeah, what do you want? We want you to come down. Okay. I mean, what, you're going to say no in that kind of a situation that they had that kind of faith in you? Look, Minnesota United, Messi and friends. To me, it's a no-brainer.
Yeah, no, and you have to use that if you're in Miami. Okay, first of all, it's a no-brainer for St. Clair because of everything that you just laid out. This is another team that's going to be playing for big tournaments, big titles, right? So you want that as part of what you're looking into the future. But Miami, again, it's surprising because I think Chris Henderson left a footprint of understanding how to build a roster within MLS. Mm-hmm. And I was surprised that they were able to hold on to that footprint or that blueprint that he left out. Because getting a guy like St. Clair with his potential at that salary, man, it's a hell of a move, right? It's a hell of a move and allows you to continue to get all of this talent from Spain and be able to go out there and look for perhaps another striker. I mean, you have so many options now by clearing that sort of space and getting the guy that everyone wanted. Look, when Carlos Coronel went to Orlando, I mean, that was a great move. And I was like, wow, that's a move that's very interesting. They're upgrading at a lower salary. That's a great move. In St. Clair, I wasn't even acknowledging as a possibility to go anywhere other than stay in Minnesota. And the fact that they were able to do that and put that as this pillar in the back end, that is very surprising. And you have to give credit to this Inter Miami team for not just the big stars, but again, that blueprint that was left by a guy like Chris Henderson, getting guys like the Ian Frays and the Noah Allens and bringing up guys like Bright, obviously Tata part of that as well. So they have done this really, really good job at building all these other co-stellar players that are going to be around the Messis and the Luis Suarez of this team.
Sounder at Heart and Pulso Sports, our buddy Nico Moreno joining us here for Thursdays with Nico. DC United actually apparently is spending some money, which is kind of a stunner. They're bringing in Ty Baribo from Philadelphia, re-signed Luis Suarez down in Fort Lauderdale. San Diego gets Lewis Morgan from Red Bulls, as a part of all of the shifting that's going on here in the offseason. This broke this morning. Whitecaps re-signed Takaoka, and that was an integral piece for them to make sure that they could keep him between the sticks. They also signed a homegrown defender, Mikhail Gerasimenkov. It's an extra syllable in there. Seattle signs Ryan Saylor. Barreal gets transferred to Brazil. Brian Acosta goes to Nashville. So there is some rearranging of deck chairs here when it comes to all of these other transfers that have kind of been coming across the board. Has any of them stuck out to you in any way?
Yeah, look, Morgan to San Diego's good business. I mean, they get him basically for nothing. He's a guy that could fill a lot of positions. He could play the nine under their system. He could play a little wide. He's interchangeable when he comes to the way they attack. He's good in transition. And clearly, the Red Bulls are in almost a last year Dallas fire sale of just getting rid of guys, and San Diego was able to capitalize. The Tyber Reba one, I don't love. I get it. I understand it. But he seems to be a system guy, and I don't know how much of the same quality of services and opportunities you're going to get with DC United. I feel like there was a lot of other holes to fill, and Benteke replacement wasn't necessarily the number one, in my opinion. It comes at a good price, and he does have proven capability and productivity within MLS, but he's a little bit of a poacher. I mean, that's his style, right? He's a guy that's a fox in the box, and you got to get him the ball there. He is not as dominant or a striker that can create his own goals the way Benteke did. So there is going to be a little bit of a learning curve or a change stylistically for you to be able to give Baribo that sort of chances. As I mentioned, I really like the Cornell one to Orlando City. You get a proven guy, a guy that is a Paraguay national team, someone that clearly is coming from a good year with New York City Red Bulls. He was right behind St. Clair in my voting for goalkeeper of the year. I believe that he continues to get better. So that was a good move, replacing a guy like Pedro Galese that now is going to Deportivo Cali in Colombia. That one was interesting because you and I have talked here. I don't see a market for Pedro Galese within MLS, not for what he's asking for. And not with the free agents that were in the market, and not with kind of this new developing free agency within MLS. So that one was a good one. The one I'm looking forward to is what happens with Andres Cubas. Look, the Sounders were able to get a guy like Asani Dotson, and we'll see how much they'll be paying a salary for that move. But when you have a guy like Andres Cubas out there, I would love to say, hey, look, if the Sounders had the money, the capability to go out there and get themselves a Cubas or a Berhalter, it'd be amazing. But I really do think that he's going to be going elsewhere. Paranaense has been very serious about getting Andres Cubas. And I think that's going to be a big determining factor for Vancouver. He was such a key component. He was such a key guy. Those two pivots for Vancouver have been so important that I feel like it'd be really hard to replace him. So we'll see where that ends. But Vancouver is a team that I'm really watching because they need to keep all their pieces, including guys like Jaden Nelson, who, you know, as much as they didn't play a lot of times, they were important coming off the bench. And if those guys go, then Vancouver needs to get out there and be aggressive in the market to replace those guys. So I really do think that those two players, when it comes to Berhalter and Cubas, are two guys that I have my eye on and could be a domino effect to what Vancouver needs to do in the offseason.
Okay, and the Baribo was for $4,000 in league and another $600,000 in performance-based metrics. Barrial's going to Santos. Cade Cowell signs a one-year deal with Red Bulls.
That's a good one.
From Chivas with a 27 purchase option. And as a part of the deal, San Jose gets 50 grand. It gets some change between the sofa cushions, basically 50 grand in GAM for next year. The Morgan deal, 525 and 27 GAM so Morgan with 525 and 27 GAM for 450,000 and 26 GAM, a conditional 650 for performance based metrics and a 2027 number three. You mentioned Jonathan Bell goes to Austin for 2.5 years, June 28, includes an option for 28-29. Peter Stroud traded to Minnesota from Red Bulls. Georgievich signs a one-year deal. This is one, and Brenner goes to Udinese. This is one we haven't touched on yet. Jacob Gleznes to LAG from Philly with homegrown priority for Jameer Johnson for $500,000 in GAM next year, a conditional $600,000 in 27 GAM, and a sell-on fee. So Gleznes goes from LA to Philly. Jacob Gleznes, by all accounts, he didn't know that was going down.
That's a smart move from the LA Galaxy. They were abysmal last season defensively. They were almost hard to watch. Garces' digression was as bad as I've ever seen a player have a bad second year within MLS. You needed a guy that was going to come in, be a leader, have a high floor and a high ceiling, someone that could affect the game both defensively and offensively in set pieces. And I think you get that with Glasnost. I think that it was a phenomenal, phenomenal move by the Galaxy, smart by Greg Vanney to understand that that was a place of need. And I think they steal somebody from Philadelphia who now is going to be looking in the market. And I would think that they'll probably go to Red Bulls. I think Niels would be a guy that they could potentially go out there and get, but it's a big, big move for the Galaxy, one that was needed, necessary. And I expect a couple of other moves there on the defensive end to a team that needs to shore those gaps in the dam, because they were an open dam completely.
That was ugly at times to watch. A couple of other minor moves are being discussed. I do want to get into the idea of the divisions that might be coming up. I want to get into that in a second. Looks like Osman Bukhari might be moving to Vijev Luj, 4+9.
Yeah, that's done as far as I know.
Okay, so finalizing a deal, Bukhari to Vijev Luj in the Ekstraklasa. Basically, that means he's going to Vijev Luj in the Polish first division, as I try to sit there and actually name the name of the first division. literally. Brooklyn Reigns, the Revs finalizing a deal for Brooklyn Reigns in a trade with Dynamo, reuniting with his U20 head coach, Marko Mitrovic. So that's another interesting one, and it looks like Houston's going to get 1.6 plus another 400,000 in add-ons from New England for Reigns. It's a straight-up cash deal, and then Reigns goes to the U22s for Mitrovic, so it doesn't count the same as it would as a regular roster spot. So that was another two that you kind of keep an eye on just for filling out rosters. But it's a big investment, 1.6 plus another 400 for New England to pick up Brooklyn Reigns from Houston. Now I wonder what Houston's going to do with that 1.6, or are they just going to sit on it? That would be my next question.
No, they have a lot of interest in boosting that roster, and there are going to be more moves coming in. I know that they've talked to several players in the free agency that haven't necessarily cemented into a guy that's going to go to that team. But Houston is being very aggressive, both out broad and within MLS, to fill up a lot of positions. So I have no doubt that they're going to be able to fill in those gaps. Houston is a team that is in a real desperate need to keep up with the rest of the Western Conference. Otherwise, they're going to end up and find themselves with the spoon. I mean, they could be one of the worst teams if they don't really put it together. There are pieces. There are interesting pieces on the offensive end, but you just don't have a collective unit. And I feel like that's where this Houston team is willing to go out there and get some TAM guys and really shore up that team.
This came across yesterday in various forms. Tenorio and Bogert spearheading it over at The Athletic. I still can't call it the New York Times. The Athletic with Tenorio and Bogert. MLS's new five-division format, likely to include a Midwest division that pulls from the Eastern Conference and the Western Conference, but it looks like it may split some of the rivalries outside of these respective divisions. And so new regular season format beginning in 27, part of the changes that are going on, including flipping the calendar and all that kind of stuff. No final decision has been made on divisions, both the T&B report. Most likely proposal, San Jose would not play in the same division as LAG, LAFC, and San Diego. DC would separate from their Northeast rivals in New York and Philadelphia. San Jose would instead play in a division with Cascadia, as well as RSL in Colorado. The Southern California teams would be in a division with the three Texas teams. DC United gets grouped with teams in the Southeast, which really makes no sense for the sake of rivalry. And the Northeastern teams get grouped with Toronto and Montreal. That I get. So here's how the divisions would allegedly look. Portland, Seattle, Vancouver, San Jose, RSL, Colorado. LAG, LAFC, San Diego, Austin, Houston, Dallas, Chicago, Minnesota, St. Louis City, Sporting, Cincinnati, and Crew, CF Montreal, Toronto, the Revs, the Red Bulls, NYCFC, and Philadelphia, DC, Nashville, Atlanta, Charlotte, Messi and Friends, and the Purple Team. The league has discussed other potential groupings, including one that would keep the four California teams together and group Cascadia with Texas, which makes even less sense. The league, however, once again putting heavy consideration into equitable travel for divisions where possible. You play division opponents twice, one home and one away. Play every other league opponent once, rotating whether that matchup is home or on the road. Discussions remain ongoing as to whether the league debuts the divisional format in the summer 27 when they flip the calendar to go summer to spring, or whether they use that new division structure in the sprint season. They got to come up with a better name for that. That's going to run from February through May ahead of the calendar change. What do you think about this one?
It was always going to be tricky, and it was always going to prioritize primetime games and money, viewership, right? You want to try to keep those clasicos, those rivalries alive, and I think they're doing a decent job by keeping those. But they were always going to affect teams like San Jose, that, you know, they were always going to be, you know, the stepchild that was going to be kicked out of that grouping, because you want to keep it regional, but you want to keep it at a certain level. And that's why they end up being kicked out of that group of all the California teams. So these regional sort of groups, I think they're going to continue to be worked on as time goes along. There's going to be, this is the way we're going to set it up, and there's going to be problems, and there's going to be, some sort of adjustments that are going to come to, in my opinion, the way it happens across sports in the United States that have those regional in conferences and all those situations. We know this, that's coming up, but I like it. For what it's worth, for what it is, with the pros and cons of switching the calendar, of changing the format, of making sure that you are growing as a league, it does feel a little bit, I hate to use the word, but like American, right? With the divisions, but it's the only way that you could really do it and continue to get this league to, with as many teams as they have, make sure that all teams play each other, make sure that you keep some of those rivalries. So there are more pros than cons with all of the flipped and all of the changes that are happening. So I like it. And the reporting obviously coming from Tom and Paul might as well just be set in stone. So I really do think that that's the way it's going to look. But I have no doubt that at some point there's going to be some adjustments and moves if things don't work.
The word of the day will be tweak. We will not twerk, but tweak. That'll be the word of the day. What is going on at Pulso Sports and Sounder at Heart, my friend?
Oh, yes, of course. Go ahead and check out Sounder at Heart. We have a ton of new shows and podcasts because of the moves that have happened here in Seattle. We have one specific for Hassani Dotson coming to Seattle with Jeff Reuter, formerly of The Athletic. That's a really, really good one. I was a little bit skeptical about the move, and not skeptical to the point where I don't like it. I just wasn't awed by the acquisition. But he makes some really good points and was able to poke some holes in some of my concerns about Hassani Dotson. He's someone that has followed the team, followed the player. So that's a really interesting one. We're going to have another one today about this Paul Rothrock news. We haven't been able to get on it. We were on Lovitz Courtiers last night with the immediate reactions, but we're going to have some really good new information about Hassani Dotson and about Paul Rothrock in today's episode with Jeremiah O'Shan. So check out the Sounder at Heart podcast network. Check out the YouTube page for Sounder at Heart. You're going to find a lot of that. And then on Pulso Sports, we're not going to fall behind. We're going to get a couple of new interviews. And of course, we're going to do the rerun of this show. We weren't able to do it last week because the guy that runs the page is too busy doing other stuff. But now we're going to make sure that we get this one on the books and ready for everybody to check it out.
All right, so next week, obviously a week from today, Santa's bringing things into your stocking. So Wednesday or Friday, which would work better for you in the 10:30, 7:30?
Wednesday, for sure Wednesday.
Well, then there we go. Christmas Eve day, that means it's going to be Wednesdays with Nico. I'm writing this down. So that means that Nico is at 10:30 on Wednesday, the 24th, Christmas Eve day. So then that way you get to race away and you get to pack everything. And you get to make sure that everything fits in the well-packaged Christmas wrapping paper, as always. Enjoy the last weekend of shopping before Christmas. I know that I will be doing a lot in front of the computer because Amazon will be my friend. Love you very much, and we will catch up with you Christmas Eve day and find out what's going on with you out there in the Pacific Northwest.
I'll be here, man. Thank you very much, man. SDH family, love y'all.
Okay, be good. We will see you on Wednesday. There goes the second cup of coffee. As always, great to catch up with Nico on Thursday and be a part of the SDH family, as he calls it. And it is great to pick his brain about who's moving, who's shaking, who might be moving, who might be standing still, what this looks like, what this team looks like, all the things. We get the Pacific perspective with Nico on a weekly basis. That is another go-round of the best of SDHAM from the Soccer Down Here Network. Once again, like, friend, be a part of the conversation at Soccer Down Here and at the SDH Network on YouTube and on Facebook and on Blue Sky, as well as the activity that we have every single week. Once again, YouTube X Twitch Live, posted and flipped to all of those other places, plus places that you get to have the deeper dives when it comes to finding information on a daily basis, like Blue Sky and Twitch. We've added that this year in 2025. Next week, we'll let you know what's going on as we go headstrong into the tail end of 25 and getting you ready for 26. It'll be another go-round of the best of SDHAM from the Soccer Down Here Network. Mucha Platiel, played safe, and we will catch up with you very soon. Enjoy your games.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With Masterclass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With Masterclass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch Masterclass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from Masterclass to their lives. Masterclass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. Masterclass.com/audio.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.